Welcome to Behind the Numbers with CEO Mike McCann, a new series where our CEO addresses your most pressing investor questions following our earnings call. In this short 10-minute recap, we'll dive into quarterly results, market trends and outlook, ensuring you hear directly from our leadership about the momentum at Limbaugh. Whether you're an existing investor exploring new opportunities or part of our team, this is your go-to where clarity meets strategy, straight from our CEO to you. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Numbers with CEO Mike McCann. Mike, thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
So let's get right into it. Limbaugh has been undergoing a strategic transformation over the past few years now. Can you walk us through the core pillars of your growth strategy?
Sure. Our strategy has really always been based upon three core pillars. The first being shifting revenue from general contractor work to owner direct work. And I'll say each location is on its own journey, but we're well under our way. The second is enhancing gross profit through expanded service offerings, and as well as our relationship with owners and working our way into the point where we're not just spending budgets, but we're also developing budgets. And lastly, strategic acquisitions. Recently, we made an acquisition in July for Pioneer Power, so to expand our market, brand, and presence. So the three of these really components are the cores of from a strategic transformation.
Looking at this quarter, what kind of progress have you seen in your transition to ODR business?
Sure. We've seen strong momentum compared to last quarter. Total revenue, ODR revenue, gross profit, and adjusted EBITDA also saw meaningful increases. So our footprint now includes 21 locations as well as 17 metropolitan areas. So our ability, I think, from a local relationship level, as well as our ability to work with national customers, is something that we're really looking for, not only now, but going forward as well, too.
And how is Limbaugh navigating the current macroeconomic environment?
Maybe the best way that for me to discuss this and get into kind of three different vertical markets, but, you know, we look at these six vertical markets of providing diversification and trying to eliminate volatility. The key with our vertical markets is making sure that the mission critical nature of the particular customer needs is important. So healthcare, key focus is operational spend, deferred maintenance, driving energy repairs. And also I think helping customers spend and plan their spend into future years as period as well too. Industrial manufacturing has really been about planned shutdowns, upgrades, as well as thinking about plans in the future as well too. And then lastly, life science and higher ed. A lot of that work, especially at higher ed, is focused in a laboratory environment, environments where they have experiments, key areas, research, where they can't afford downtime. And that's where we've seen a lot of the work. So that's kind of a quick overview of the our vertical markets.
You mentioned expanding your sales organization. What's the strategy behind that?
We added about 40 salespeople at the end of Q4 into Q1, and they're primarily, majority of those people are focused on on-site. They're on-site account managers focusing on deepening relationships on OpEx level. We also hired some account execs as well too, helping to build capital programs. So we're continuing with those sales staff. The other key development is we recently hired our new senior vice president of sales, Amy Dorsett. So she brings over 20 years of experience from various OEMs. We're really excited about bringing her on board. She's going to be instrumental in a number of different ways. One way is national account relationships. We've started a lot of these relationships. We have professional services. We may have local relationships. Her ability to put the whole picture together from a national perspective is going to be really important. Helping branches, training branches from a perspective, helping them turn that momentum that we've had from an OpEx perspective and helping them build long-term capital programs, which is traditionally more of a financial sell as well too. So helping us bring work in, but also training our staff as well too, is something we're really excited with bringing her aboard.
Can you elaborate on the shift from reactive support to those proactive partnerships?
Sure. It's a major initiative for us for 2025. And back in Q1, we talked about gathering customer data, asset history, benchmarking, anything we can gather from a customer. And I think that's really gone with our OpEx on-site account manager strategy, which is gather the information and translate that just from not reactive short-term emergency spend, which we want always, but also our ability to help customers think ahead and plan ahead. And I think this goes right along with the question previously before about with Amy's, you know, onboarding with the company is our ability to make sure that we are going to support customers from an emergency basis, but how can we make that spend more proactive in the future?
And what are some examples of this proactive approach in action?
So one of the examples that we talked about in the earnings script that we're excited about, a national healthcare provider came to us with 20 different facilities that they needed assessments for. And some customers come with assessments where there's work that immediately happens after. Sometimes it's more of a long-term approach. But those type of assessments set up capital programs. And sometimes it's not immediate, but this national healthcare provider, we know that this is going to really put us in a different position. We're at the table with them when they're making decisions. We're providing the information, and it changes the elevation of where we are from a customer standpoint.
So Limbach has also expanded, you know, its service offerings. What's new on that front?
Sure. So we've been continuing to invest in our rental fleet, our climate control rental fleet. We invested about $2 million last quarter. That's been a big focus. It's tangible. It helps us through the emergency periods of time. As I mentioned before, we're still very much focused on our digital solutions, gathering data, energy consumption, performance, building performance. How can we provide customers with insights that allow them to make better proactive decisions? So it really comes down to our continued investment in our rental fleet, but also our ability to gather and extract data as well, too.
Let's talk about M&A. What can you tell us about the Pioneer Power acquisition?
So we acquired Pioneer Power in July. It's our largest acquisition since being a public company. They bring expertise in some overlap vertical markets, healthcare, industrial, food, power, and some other verticals in the upper Midwest. It expands our footprint from a cultural fit, which is extremely important. That's one of the things that we really look at from a people perspective. We look at the customers that they have. They have a strong owner direct group of customers and the niche. I mean, they're a major player within that market. So very similar to some other deals that we've done. We're really excited. We're really excited for the deal itself, but also our ability to apply our value creation process over a number of years as well too. And lastly, diversification from a market that may have been tougher for us to go in and just, you know, put our flag up. Our ability to acquire brand, people, customers is really excited into this new geography.
Let's stay on Pioneer Power for a second. Can you just talk about how that integration's going?
Sure. So the integration is well underway. We closed in July, so it's been about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks at this point. In our investor deck, we talk about this a little bit. Phase one is really about getting the systems in place, structure, risk management. Kind of in the early days, we're trying to work through financial systems, CRM, HR systems. How do we get those? How do we get Pioneer on our common platform and get through that process? That can take a period of time. And then once that's through, how can we really deepen their customer relationships and focus on their go-to-market strategy? Very much a phase process, and we're very much in that first phase.
And looking at the rest of 2025, Mike, what's the outlook for the rest of this calendar year?
Sure. So we revised our 2025 guidance from a range of $610 to $630 million to a range of $650 million to $680 million. We revised our 2025 adjusted EBITDA guidance from a range of $78 to $82 to $80 to $86. This revised guidance implies $40 to $50 million from Pioneer and then $2 to $4 million in EBITDA contribution from Pioneer. We remain on track to deliver 10 to 15% organic revenue growth for 25. And the cadence of the business will be stronger in the back half, especially in Q4 than it was in the first half. So priorities wise, remain focused on continuing to grow the business, evolving our go-to-market strategy, and really working closely from an integration perspective on Pioneer Power.
Thanks, Mike. That's a comprehensive update, and thanks for sharing these insights. As we wrap up here, can you just talk about what are some of the top priorities for the rest of this year?
Sure. Three real main priorities: driving top line revenue growth. This is the first year that we've grown in really a number of years. Expanding our relationships and through evolved solutions offerings, training our sales staff. And then obviously, as I mentioned before, phase one of the integration of Pioneer Power. So we're excited. The progress that we made, definitely we're building a long-term strategy. And we're excited about these three pillars.
Well, this concludes the show, and thank you, Mike, and thanks to everyone listening. Join us next quarter for another episode of Behind the Numbers.